John 3, verse 16, New King James. It says, for God so loved. What did he love? What does the Bible say that he loved? Not just the church? Not just those that are saved? Not just those who said, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior. Jesus said he loved the world. I mean, in the world, there is more than just saved. There's unsaved. Amen? There's people who still haven't made a commitment to Christ. But God still loves them the same. That's kind of hard to fathom when, especially when, you know, you as a Christian want everybody to get saved, and you have your neighbors and friends, and, you know, you try to love them with all the love that Christ gives to them. That's when you start praying. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who's that? Jesus. That whoever believes in Jesus, believes in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Next scripture I'd like to share with you is in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. That's why I've entitled my message this morning, The Very, Very Good News. The Very, Very Good News. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now let's go back three more books to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Proverbs 15, verse 30, it says, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart. And the good news, and good news, and good news makes the bones healthy. Amen? Isn't that good news? I don't know about you guys, but I don't like to hear bad news. I like to hear good news. And the Bible says it makes your bones healthy when you hear good news. I mean, for years, I've taught and explained scriptures verse by verse, and still do enjoy it that way. Sometimes topical, you know, as the Lord leads me. Yet most recently, every time I sit down to put together my sermon, I keep hearing the voice of the beautiful one, the Holy Spirit within me, whispering. And some of the new things that I'm hearing these days are, don't explain it that way at this time, but rather, breathe it in. Breathe it in. And then thinking about it, exhale it out. For others to know the wisdom of God, for my sons and daughters, who are also my kings and priests, you know, it says in Romans 8:19 in the New King James that we are his sons and daughters. And in Revelation 1:6, it says he's made us to be kings and priests. And now for me, I don't know about you, but for me, that's different. Because I'm used to doing it expositorily, or I'm used to doing it topically. And so now after thinking how I deliver messages, I don't direct them, but rather I declare them with passion. Because this is, my Bible, your Bible, is the very, very good news. Very good news of what Jesus did for us. And now week after week, what I'm presenting is beginning to roar without apology. And this roar is without the bubble wrap or the safe theology or padded explanations that keep us comfortable. So I turned again to the scriptures, not to defend doctrine, but to encounter but to encounter the living Word himself, Jesus. And every time you open your Bible, you're encountering the living Word, Jesus. And I began to dig deep into Hebrew and Greek words so that my declarations would echo with a roar to those who are listening. And I sit with my text for hours, not to simply dissect it, but to behold, not alone, but with the Spirit leading me. Unveiling what had always been there, but sometimes because, you know, how many know you could be looking at something and never see it? I was talking to my wife this morning when I was sitting on the edge of my bed. In our bedroom, we have shades that come down. But in the front of those shades, we have like, what do they call it, Marie? We have a lace drape that's in front of the shade. And I've been looking out that lace drape for 3 years in my house. And I never saw the flowers on the drape, on the lace. All I saw was the yard. So we could be looking at something for years and never really see it. See its worth or see its authenticity, what's really there. Unveiling what had always been there. And so I started to follow the Spirit's breath through ancient words, letting the living Word, Jesus himself, rise off the page and watch as God's grace unfolded in me, layer by layer, line by line, until it unraveled the old and awakened something entirely new in me. See, my new way of approaching the Bible is I refuse to fit the familiar forms I used to before because it's demanding a different voice entirely. I began to write for those who were worn out by religion and for those who didn't understand the religious church, so that if grace was really that good, then they would be interested in learning more than they had in the past. And this new way of bringing forth the message of grace was always for those who hardly ever went to church. We have a whole generation of people who don't go to church anymore. They think Sunday is a day to do whatever they want. They don't think it's church day. So that's a whole different thing for some people today. And some people who never prayed or live a life that doesn't fit the religious mold. See, the gospel I was preaching was for every single person, regardless of their age. Salvation is for, there's no junior Holy Spirit in these young ones. They got the same Holy Spirit we got. They don't have a junior Holy Spirit. They have the ability to do what we do, to pray and to prophesy and to heal the sick. They have that ability. Amen? See, the gospel that's in this work in the Bible is for everybody. There's no outsiders in the Bible. There's no second-class sons and daughters of God. Everyone has equal inheritance, and everyone knew that they belong to. Now, when I first got saved, I knew I belonged. As soon as I gave my life to Christ, I knew I belonged. It made a big difference. There was a miracle that happened in every... You're all miracles. You know that, right? If you're born again, filled with the Spirit, you're all miracles. A new creation in Christ. And my hope in all of this is that you will too behold and that you will awaken to just how very, very good the gospel truly is. And like Apostle Paul, that you will make it yours. If you ever read two-thirds of the New Testament that Paul wrote, he says unequivocally, very often, this is my gospel. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul said. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Completely, passionately, and without apology to anyone. And when Father God began everything in the book of Genesis, how many's ever read the book of Genesis? First book, amen, of the Bible. When Father God began everything in the book of Genesis, he looked over all that he had created and he declared it, Tov Mi'od. Is that good enough? Tov miyah. You know what it means? Very good. And tov means beautiful, whole, complete, and working exactly as I designed. See, the picture painted to explain what Elohim meant was a large house surrounded by grace with beauty and love and abundance. And here is the stunning part. We are his house. Where's Jesus? He's not up there. He's not out there. He's not playing football, baseball, or soccer right now. Where is he? He's in each of us. Wherever we go, at any time, we are his house. We are his mobile home. Amen? Here on planet Earth, created by him to live in this very goodness. Why? Because you are the best of the best. See, God was satisfied in making himself who we are and then living inside of us at all times. And then some surrounded by his fullness. When David became king, he prepared a kingdom of peace and a victory for his son Solomon. He finished it and completed it and rested on every side. In the same way, Jesus has given us a kingdom that he finished to us for us to enjoy for all of eternity. A highway of holiness where every obstacle has been removed and every enemy defeated. Not a distant hope to strive towards, but the very present reality. My teaching today is a bold declaration, a proclamation of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The gospel that is better, fuller, more complete than we have ever dared to imagine. More inclusive, more abundant, more all-encompassing than religion ever allowed us to believe. A gospel that leaves nothing undone. No steps here, no arguments, no outlines, but you will see and hear true beauty in what Jesus is unveiling in my own heart today to yours. And when you are hearing today and in the future will sound different because I am in a new season that cannot be contained in the forms I used before. And when I study now, I breathe in. Did you ever, just recently, I was at a doctor's office, and he said to me, "Have you ever learned to just breathe in?" I said, "Yeah, I've learned that." Some of us do it with totally unconsciously. You know, we breathe all the time and don't even know we're breathing. You know, how do you know if you'd know it if you stopped breathing? I breathe in and I exhale out. I sing and I listen to the Holy Spirit guide me on what to declare to you, his bride, his sons and daughters. And some of these things I will share with you will stretch you and even stir your questions. But we all need this from time to time. This is not a grasping of it all at once. I don't know about you, but I've been pastoring 40 years and I'm still learning. Amen? This is not. It's all about allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to unveil truth in your heart, in his timing, in his way. You hear me? It's all about the Holy Spirit unveiling truth in your heart, in his timing and in his way. John 14:6, New King James says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So are you saying there's only one way to the Father? Yes. If the scripture's right and the Bible's true, and Jesus said it, amen? So getting back to the Holy Spirit, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, the gospel risks becoming a beautiful idea we admire instead of a living truth we experience. So let me learn to linger. You know, when you're in scripture, don't just run through it and have to, you know, read it, read it, read it, read it. Get one scripture and just linger on it. Breathe it in. Take time with one verse. Take time with even one word or two or three, a little phrase. Break it down and let it get inside of you. So we need to learn to linger. We need to learn to take a pause. How many know what a pause is? Selah. And come back again and again and take your time, because I'll be doing the same. Let it unfold slowly. And now when you read the Bible, read it with not looking for sin management. That's not what the gospel is about. It's about liberation. It's about freedom. It's about unveiling a new humanity, a new creation that I would call humanity. You. Humanity. Why? Because Jesus stated in John 19:30, and then back in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, he said to me, it is done. This is the last book of the Bible, Revelation. How many know Revelation is the last book of the Bible? And what did he say? It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. See, the true gospel of Jesus and his kingdom wraps you in belonging, male and female, and it names you as co-heirs with Jesus. Say, I'm a co-heir with Jesus. I like the way Brian started out and had you say that you were blessed. How many really still believe you're blessed? Now, when you leave here today and you're going out in your daily work and your daily place, wherever, keep remembering who you are. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're a king and a priest. He made you that way, Revelation 1:6. And you're blessed. You're blessed and you're going out. You're blessed and you're going in. You're blessed everywhere in Christ. And he's always chasing you down with blessings. See, the true gospel of Jesus and his kingdom does this. The veil is gone. I mean, when Jesus died, the veil was gone. And I mean completely gone. The throne is occupied. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not future. That's now. Say, I'm seated together right now in Christ. And the table is set with a glorious feast. And King Jesus is still calling, come and see. Come and see. Come and see what I finished for you. Come and see. Come and see what I finished for you. And during this time, you will hear certain truths echo more than once, not out of forgetfulness, but because the gospel's beauty can't be eaten in a single glance or a day. You can't just get it all in one church service. You can't even get it all in 1 year or 10 years or a lifetime. And don't treat your Bible like a checklist. Read it with an open heart, unafraid of what grace might reveal. And feel the gospel awaken in you like your breath you didn't even know you were beholding. The gospel isn't just a record of what Christ did. It's the Spirit's ongoing revelation of who you are right now. That's who you are right now, every day. So simply come and see that the table is already set. Pull up a chair and join the eternal dance of Father, Son, and Spirit in all of humanity, and let your heart stretch wide and behold the very, very good news been written on your heart all along. John 3:16, for God so loved, what did he love? The world. Don't diminish it like you want to. He loves the world. Take a deep breath, beloved. He's done it all. You're already in, and it's truly finished. I know everybody in here that I'm talking to, predominantly everybody here, is saved. So I'm not talking to unsaved. See, years ago, there was an English woman theologian named Julian of Norwich who wrote these words. She wrote these words. Before ever God made us, he loved us. And his love was never abated and never shall be. That's taken from her book, Revelations of Divine Love. And you see that the very, very good news started in the beginning in this love story between humanity and a triune God named Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And now at the cross, not after the fall, here face to face, breath meeting breath, life flowing into life, the longing of love taking force, taking form, the desire of the eternal one taking form, now seen and known, Genesis unveils who we are. God sees the end from the beginning, and what he saw, he called very good. And the Greek echoes it. Not just good enough or merely adequate or needing to become more. Remember, the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground. The Spirit breathed and life awakened, and the stars joined in song, and the trees and the flowers flourished in their design, and creatures moved in fullness of purpose. But for humanity, very good wasn't just an observation. It was a declaration of divine union. He wanted to be a part of us. Jesus wanted to live in you. You're his house. You're his mobile home. We were not shaped merely to dwell within creation, but to carry the very life of God himself in us. What a truth for life. We were not created with a flow to be fixed. We were formed for union face to face with Almighty God. And in that moment, adoration, blessing spoken, life celebrated, not distant words, but joy poured out, the delight of the Trinity resting upon humanity, and this goodness spoke over us, was not a fragile thing, not dependent on behavior. I'm so happy, not dependent on my behavior, because I always come up short. I don't know about you guys, you know. Not moral standing to be lost. It was goodness woven into being. Goodness in nature. Goodness born of divine purpose. Goodness that cannot be undone or ever lessened. Apostle Peter himself declared in 2 Peter 1:3-4 in the New King James, he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have given to us great and exceeding and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. And not to strive to become something we're not, but awakening to who we have always been, now in essence, but in shared life. For the mystery of the gospel, hidden for generations, is now revealed in Jesus. And guess where it lives? It's in us. Remember the tap, tap, tap? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? The glory is us. We're the glory. Mankind is God's glory. We are always looking for it over here in the fury. Oh, where's the glory? Shh. You're looking in the wrong place. You're the glory. You're the glory of God. Mankind is the glory of God. You got to read your Bible because it says that a lot of places in the Bible. Lots. Lots of places.